This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Well, it's certainly good to be here, and I see that there's a few brave souls to try to venture into this territory, and I know that in some ways I felt almost silly presenting something like this, and yet it's some, you know, at a place like this, and yet it's one of those practical things that I believe has value, and I'm not sure that we've really captured or taken advantage of what the possibilities are. I want to tell you just a little bit more about Choice Books and so forth. Our main office is in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia, and we have 17 district offices around the country. We have more than 6,500 displays of Christian books, and I wish this was back a little further. Maybe we can make it a little bit more readable. Can you see over here? If not, feel free to. Okay. I think that'll make it a little bit easier to see. But we have more than 6,500 displays of Christian books across the country. They're in retail outlets spanning more than 30 states, including Hawaii, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico. So there's a lot of information that comes into our office from all of these locations. We have about 130 employees and about 96 vehicles on the road every day. Last year, there was more than $20 million in sales, and we sold more than 3.5 million books across the country. I will be quick to say that I am a CFO, not a CIO. Even though I use and appreciate technology, that is not my area of expertise, but I'd like to find ways to utilize technology to make things better. And so that's what I have today. And since this is a topic on paperless office, if you would like a copy of the notes, you can email me or text me, and I will get them to you. One of my accountants came to me the other day. I shared this presentation. He's like, "What are you going to do for handouts?" And I was like, "I don't know. I was trying to figure out." And he's like, "Why are you going to have handouts? This is about paperless office." And I was like, "Good point. Great idea." So I'll give this at the end as well. But feel free to shoot me an email if you care for a copy of the presentation. Also, I will tell you right up front, I am going to promote two or three products. I know there's other products. Those are the ones I'm familiar with. And so I want you to know that I'm not affiliated or anything like that with any, so there's no personal gain from that. I'd like to just talk about a little bit about the paper and the information problem. We just simply live in an information age, and there just is literally exponentially increasing amounts of information and paper that we have to figure out somehow how to manage. And it's not easy, and it's no wonder that we get overwhelmed. There's almost an unlimited amount of information available on any given subject, regardless how narrow it is. And so there's just no end to this. I don't know about the accuracy of this graph per se, but it communicates what I know is accurate. Over time, up until the 1970s, 1980s, the increase in the amount of human knowledge and information was somewhat flat. Buckminster Fuller stated that until 1900, human knowledge doubled about every 100 years, up until 1900. By the end of 1945, end of World War II, human knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Today, they say human knowledge is doubling every 12 months. Now, and you compound that with the internet, you know, and it's all available. And so there is just exponentially more information. this is the statistics I have, but I keep wondering how much more is this going to accelerate even in the future, if it's every 12 months now, and how can this continue? And as we become more and more regulated, the more and more documents and paperwork is required. And every time I see instructions or read instructions, and you see the whole Paperwork Reduction Act of whatever at the bottom, it's just like you shake your head. It's like there's more and more papers to describe what you need to do to fill out this paper. And then also then there's the supporting documents that are required with that paperwork. What's interesting is that we have not really changed our habits as much as what our environment has changed over the last 20, 30 years. Paper consumption has actually increased 400% over the last 40 years, which you might say that's the computer age. So paper consumption has actually increased. 34% of people print their emails before they read them. And literally, there are people in our office that will print emails, underline, highlight here, and hand it off to somebody, you know, to take care of things. And I think those are the types of things that if we think about it, there's very good ways that we can change the way that we function. The average office worker uses about 10,000 pages a year. And that may not seem like that much. That's the equivalent of 2 cases of copy paper. There's 10 reams of 500 sheets in a case. So 2 cases over the period of a year. But that's the average office worker. I may print 100 pages a month right now. You know, that means somebody else is printing a lot more than those other, you know, that's the average. The more disturbing thing is that 45% of those documents printed ended up in the trash can by the end of the day. So I have 5 reasons why to go paperless. And I'm going to do these in descending order. It saves trees. I'm not an environmentalist tree hugger, but it is something to consider. Paper industry is the 3rd largest polluter in the U.S. and Canada. It consumes 4% of the world's energy. There's 26 million tons of paper that hit our landfills every 12 months. And discarded paper accounts for 35% of the solid waste. Interestingly, when paper decomposes, it releases methane gas, which is 23 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So those are just a few things to keep in mind, because we do have a responsibility toward our environment, not that we become obsessed with that, but that is a consideration in all of this. Reason number 4, I'd like to just ask you a question. You can answer out loud, or you can just keep it to yourself. How many filing cabinets do you have in your office? You have any idea? Anybody want to venture something? A 4-drawer lateral filing cabinet typically holds 10 to 20,000 documents. Now, that's not pages, that's documents. So there may be multiple pages. It takes about 9 square feet of office space, and they estimate that filling a filing cabinet is going to cost $1,500 annually to maintain that filing cabinet because of the space that it takes and as well as the time. I'm going to talk to you more about what Choice Books did, but 15 years ago we started converting our AR invoices into electronic format. At that point, we had 12 4-drawer lateral filing cabinets just holding our AR invoices. And, you know, in that corner where we literally took those cabinets out and we had a room for an extra office. And so that's valuable space that is being used for that. And we also had additional filing cabinets besides that. What's amazing is that since then, our sales have more than quadrupled. I can't imagine how many filing cabinets we would need today. 3rd reason is, or reason number 3, it saves money. Have you ever misplaced a document? I think that we all have. And the other thing is, it's estimated that a company needs to hire one additional person for every 12 filing cabinets that you have. And I believe that that's pretty well true, because when we had those AR invoices, when we had those 12 invoices, we had one person dedicated to filing invoices. So that's a cost. That's an ongoing cost that's associated with that as well. Sometimes we also we misplace documents, or we might lose a document and we end up having to recreate it. According to the Inc. magazine, it costs a company $20 to file a document, $120 to find a misplaced one, and $250 to recreate it. Now, this is coming from the corporate world. I'm sure that us nonprofits, that would not necessarily be the case. At the same time, the point is that it costs us a lot more than what we typically think about or want to acknowledge of what it's costing us. It also takes less time to file. It takes a lot of time to file paper documents. And the more documents and the more filing cabinets you have, the more time-consuming it comes. And one of the big hurdles for us when we have those 12 filing cabinets, you also have to go through and then purge. You know, you keep 7 years worth or whatever, and then you have to go through and pull the ones that are older than that. And that's time-consuming as well. So there's just a lot of time put into managing a filing system. So, the speed and accuracy of retrieval, to me, is the number one reason why you want to do this. There's a lot of other reasons as well. To me, this is the benefit that has benefited me the most personally. And I think that is the most compelling reason to go paperless. If I can go the right way here. We know what the frustration can be trying to find a document that you know you had yesterday, and where in the world did I put that? We know where it should, it's not where it belongs. It may have been filed incorrectly, or it may have been pulled out and never put back. You know, there's a lot of reasons, but we can't find this document. And going paperless allows for nearly instant retrieval, and depending on the tool that you use, from multiple platforms and locations. Since I've been gone paperless on a number of corporate documents and so forth, I've been able to pull up the documents I need in Puerto Rico, in Pittsburgh, in various places, either on my phone or on my laptop, and you have it, and you have exactly what you need. And that would have never been possible, because I didn't know I was going to need that particular document when I went there. So, yeah, being able to find what you need when you need it is one of the huge advantages. So there's my top five reasons, just recapped again. There are some drawbacks. It is very technologically dependent, and so that is it's a drawback. There's also that loss of security of having a piece of paper that you're holding. That goes away. You can't touch and feel the document. And it's a little bit more difficult for some to comprehend or read an electronic document rather than as far as reading through a document. Some just find it harder. And then obviously the older generation finds it a little bit more challenging to adapt at times for something like this as well. Going paperless does not necessarily mean that we quit using paper. It is about reducing the amount of paper that we use and being intentional about how we manage the documents that we use. If you would see my desk at work, you commenting about cleaning, I have several piles of paper on my desk right now. Every day when the mail goes, you know, there's letters and notices from state and regulation, state offices as well as local offices and so forth that have to be managed. But it's also utilizing technology to try to find a way to improve the way that we do things and being intentional about what we print. And I think this is one of the big things, is that just think twice before you print a document. Do I really need to print this? Or is there another way that I can take care of this without printing it? And we can save a lot of paper that way. The challenge is that we have large volumes of documents that need to be managed. And how can we do that in a way that we can then find it in the future? One way to do that is to have a good filing system. A good filing system has actually worked very well for many years, and it has more of a proven track record in many ways, if you will, than an electronic filing system, because it was used for hundreds of years, probably. But that involves multiple filing cabinets. It involves filing drawers. It involves hanging file folders and then individual folders and documents within that. When it's properly maintained, it works. There's no two ways about it. It does work. That is a way to manage documents. But then there's alternate methods as well. And when I say alternate methods, I don't think that there is one alternate method. There are other ways of managing documents as well. Where the manual system fails is when it's poorly designed or if it's not maintained. And once you stop maintaining a manual system, things just go downhill really quickly. When they start accumulating, you know, that they need to be filed and so forth. But there are electronic methods that we can effectively store and retrieve documents when we need them. I'm going to talk a little about what we've done at Choice Books and then more specific ideas on this. As I mentioned, the AR sales invoices that we had, this was our first electronic document storage project, and I worked with our IT guy back in 2000 when we recognized that this is just getting out of hand, the number of documents. Presently, we have between 17 and 18,000 invoices a month that come in that need to be managed, stored, and being able to be retrieved on demand. We, back in 2000, like I said, we had 12 filing cabinets. We had one person filing. We kept adding filing cabinets. And then the challenge was to finding the invoices when we needed them. There's been, since 2000, we've had more than 3 million documents that we have stored electronically. And those are accessible on demand anywhere in the country. Well, anywhere of our offices, I should say, in the country. We scan them. They're captured by OCR. And I don't know the technology behind this, but optical character recognition. So it recognizes the text. We pull out of that our invoice number, the date, our customer and store ID, and the amount of the invoice. That has to match our accounting system data. And if it's a match, it automatically indexes that for us, and we can find it immediately. If one of those fields don't match, we will then manually look at it and see exactly where it's supposed to go because if the OCR doesn't work. But that is the way that, so it's all done automatically. We scan them in, and they get mapped and are indexed, and they're available anywhere in the country.
Why do you have to scan Facebook?
Okay. that is a good point, and we are asked that. Why do we have to have paper copies at all? We're a direct store delivery to retailers. They need a signature on a paper to verify that they received that delivery. There's ways that we could perhaps advance that. We have handheld computers and we're exploring using signature like UPS or something like that. We're not that advanced at this point, but that's a point well taken. This is the scanner that we use. It's a higher-end scanner. It's not inexpensive. It's about $800 for a machine like this, but it scans up to 60 pages per minute, holds up to 80 documents, and the automatic document feeder scans both sides at one time if necessary and does color scanning as well. So you can process a lot of data with a scanner like this. And that gets poured right into our system and into the OCR system. So we have the sales invoices, bank deposits, and I would urge you, this is something relatively recent that we've learned. We don't even take checks to the bank. They provided a scanner for us. We scan the checks there and upload the deposit, and then we shred the checks. It seems kind of scary in some ways, but that is literally what we do. It's called remote deposit capture. If there's a lot of checks that you all are processing and so forth, that's something to look into with your local bank and see if that's an option available for you. Then we have images of those checks if we ever need to go back to them or if the bank does. But we scan those directly.
Do they require a certain size volume?
I don't remember. It's been 2 or 3 years that we've done that. I think there's a bit of a fee to it, so it would depend on the volume, obviously, whether it justifies. We still have to go at least weekly to deposit any cash we might get and so forth, but predominantly. And you can do this 24/7, so you
do it. It varies by the bank.
It varies by the bank. Okay.
Yeah, my personal bank does that for free, so I don't know when you
Accounts payable. We have more than 100 corporate cardholders that are used out there, so they're using credit card, and so those receipts, we need to collect all of those for our audit purposes and so forth. We scan those receipts in as well. It's a process to do that, but it makes it a whole lot easier when the auditors come. But then beyond that, we also have our book purchases. We're purchasing books from over 80 publishers, and then just the regular invoices. We scan all of that stuff in, and it's available. When the auditor comes, we give him a thumb drive with all our AP invoices, and he can look at whatever he wants to his heart's content, and it's just all there for him. Now, this is stored locally on just in a directory, in a file structure on our server. It is not stored on a cloud or anything like that, but that's just stored locally on the server.
Now, what is versus? You said you could pull something up on the cloud earlier.
I'll get to that later. We have several different systems, and this is one that would not be available just anywhere. Human resource records, that's one that we're moving toward. We have not fully implemented this. There's more and more of our human resource records that are as well. About 4 years ago, we started using time and attendance with ADP. Have an app on your phone. It's your time card, and all our time cards are done electronically through ADP and without any time card. Supervisors can approve the time and so forth, and so that's all set up within the system. It's all paperless. Our accounting records, obviously, are all electronic. We use Dynamics GP accounting software. Rather than you always have verification reports that pop up and so forth that you can view, we never print any of those. You can pull up any of those reports on demand when you need them, if you need them in the future. Our auditors ask for our complete GL at the point of our audit this last year. I mean, and this is typical, but I took note, the report was almost 23,000 pages long for 1 year's GL for us, all that transactions. Print that to a PDF and give it to them, and again, they can look at it all they want. I can't imagine they would want that in hard copy, even if it wasn't available electronically, but they asked for it, so we gave it. The one area that we've not done this, since 1968, we've been getting customer responses related to choice books, most of them handwritten. What do you do with that? We have 27 envelope boxes full of customer responses dating back to the late 60s. We hope to get those scanning electronic. I'd love to have those indexed by location, like what store they got at, what book it was, and being able to see that data would be impressive, but we've not yet done that. So that's some of what we've done at Choice Books. For most of the other scanning besides the invoices, we use these ScanSnap scanners, which are much more affordable. They're about half the price. I highly recommend these. They are just so convenient. About 25 pages a minute, 50 pages in the document feeder does the duplex and color scanning. You can scan directly into Evernote, which I'm going to talk about Evernote. And some of these models actually come with a Adobe Acrobat Professional Edition, which is a $200 program for free. And so that definitely makes it worth. So you can edit PDF documents and so forth. Evernote is the kind of what I like. But the other stuff is mostly on the server, except for the invoices are available in our BookLink software, which is available at all locations. Evernote, it's a software, it's a service. It remembers everything. It's available everywhere, and you can find anything quickly. It syncs to the cloud, but is also stored locally on your computer. So it's not like you're dependent on being connected to the cloud, but it is. And I describe it as my digital brain in a lot of ways. I use this for church. I use this for personal, and I use it for work.
What's the difference in Dropbox?
We'll get into that. It's not free. Oh, no, wait. Let me say. It's not. There's different levels. It's a freemium software. The basic gets you 60 meg of data and allows you to sync across two devices, and that's monthly. But then there's the plus and the premium. And I would encourage you, if you explore any of this, start out with a free and see if it works. I am a premium. Personally, I use premium, and at work, I use premium. I believe in it. For $5 a month, it's well worth the fee to do that.
I would hope that your business has more than 10 gigabytes.
Oh, no, this is 10 gigabyte of uploads per month.
Oh.
It's unlimited. The 60 megabyte is that much per month upload that you can upload. It's unlimited how much you can have, but that's how much you can upload in a given month. But yes. And I'll talk a little bit about some of the differences a bit later. What's different about this is the way that it's structured. Why not Dropbox? Why not Google Drive? Those are good in a lot of ways. This is just a different way of doing it that I think makes it even more powerful. The basic component is notes. They're not equivalent to documents. You can have multiple documents within a note, and you can have disparate documents. You can have a video and a PDF and just other text within the one note. So it's not just documents. It's notes, individual notes, and it's almost unlimited the kind of data that you can. If it's a file, you can put it in Evernote, is pretty much the way it is. PDF, JPEG, audio, video, web pages, handwritten documents, you can scan in everything. Can be added in a variety of ways. You can drag and drop them, obviously, with a camera. You can take a picture with your phone and it'll upload directly into Evernote. You can use a scanner. There's also a secret email address for your account that you can email directly to Evernote. So there's multiple ways that you can do that. Naming the notes is an important part as far as retrieving. I like to name a lot of my notes, start with a year and the month, and if necessary, the day. That's just one of the quick ways to find it. Some people tend to name documents by month. Or month and date and year. There's no order to that. But if you do year first, you eliminate all of that. So that's one thing. And this is your first opportunity to include anything helpful to find it in the future. This is in the name itself. So there's notes, and I'm going to see if I can flip over here real quick. It doesn't let me without closing out of the presentation. I'll come back to that a little bit later. What did I do here? Sorry about that. But I'll show you Evernote itself here pretty soon, but I'm going to come here and come back to this. Notebooks. There's notebooks, there's notes, and then there's notebooks. Notebooks are folders, if you will, within Evernote. But it's not, you don't want to think about it like folders in Dropbox or Google Drive. Notes are stored in notebooks, and they can only reside in one notebook at a time. And the default can be designated where the documents will go. They can be stacked, there can be, but only one level. So there's only nesting to one level within Evernote. They can be shared with others, and you can actually have an offline version too, like on your phone. So if you have a folder that's offline, that's available even if you have no service, those documents are available. There's limits on the number of notebooks you can have. So my philosophy is minimal number of high-level notebooks is the best way to work with Evernote. So you have to think about it very different than other folder structure. Come on here. Technical problems. Tags. That is really the secret of quick retrieval within Evernote. And you can have multiple tags for a document. So that's how you are able to quickly find what you need. So you want to identify the tags of the categories that you're likely going to search for in the future. Each note can have multiple tags. There should be consistent and logical tagging. And one word tags, I'll show you what I mean, but one example is state unemployment. I put that as one word with the S and the U capitalized, but one word, state unemployment. And then that makes it easy to find things in the future as well. They can be nested to multiple levels. I like the who, what, when, where as a good way of thinking about tags, of identifying those various things. Not all notes need all of these tags, but as they're relevant, you use them. Then the power of retrieval. You can find notes easily and quickly. Searches the title, the note, the PDF, and even images for criteria, your search criteria. And there can be specific and general searches. I'm not going to go into this, but these are some of the, like if you search for two words, it's the equivalent of and. If you put it inside quotes, it's exact. Any with a colon and two words is or, is equivalent to an or statement. And then you can use the term tag with a colon and whatever, so it matches the tag or the notebook. Or you can use the minus sign to exclude criteria, or even like created, and you could do month minus one, and so anything created in the last month. And you can put these all together to come up with search criteria to find what you need. And it even recognizes handwriting. Some handwriting, I should say. And I find that amazing. Okay, we have about 10 minutes left. I'm going to take you over to Evernote and show you what this looks like. This is what Evernote looks like. This is just a blank note. So you have multiple notes here. And I'm going to just show you the notebooks. And I created this just for reach, so it's nothing. But I have my unprocessed folder is where the default folder would be. And so everything comes into unprocessed, and then you can designate it. Once you tag it, then you can move it to the central database. And to tag, for example, this is our unemployment contribution rate for Maine for 2017. you know, the year 2017, if I can type here, it's Maine. So put that in there, and the state unemployment. And it will pop up what your existing tags are. You can easily add them. And then when you're done with that, move it to the central database, and it's done. And so that's the way you do it. And then you can easily, then the tags are listed here. And this is what I was talking about. You can nest them. I do a decimal place what, and you can have a whole list. You know, multiple levels, bylaws, constitution, when, where. California, city of Los Angeles, you can do county, city, and so forth, and that way you can easily find what you're looking for when you go to look for that. Just want to do a few searches here. Here is a handwritten note. You can't even really read it, but if I type in previous, search previous, it found the word previous on this handwritten note. And so that is where it really becomes, like I say, it doesn't recognize all handwriting, but it's amazing how much it does recognize. Just want to do a few more. Then the nice thing is it also searches within the text of the PDF. So you have a 100-page PDF document, it will search the entire text of the PDF, not just whatever you have it named. It also, like I said, searches images, and I'm going to type in ratios, because I literally just scanned something in. Oh, I'm in the wrong. It's only searching in the notebook that I'm presently in. Where's my mouse? I just took a picture of an accounting textbook, and it's finding the word ratios in there as well, even just opening that.
That's not a PDF, that's just a JPEG.
That's a JPEG. So, I mean, literally, you can take pictures of things, and they will upload it, and you can search for it later on. Just a few, we're running out of time here. And I was hoping to have some time for discussion at the end. This is the three different levels. It's only at the, not the premium level, but you can forward emails, access offline, the middle one. And if you get over here, it's search for text in PDFs. And you can annotate PDFs and so forth as well. So there are definitely some additional features, but that's all available online. This is just talking about the amount of time that we end up spending on paper, on managing paper. 15% of organizations' revenues are spent creating, managing, and distributing documents. A typical employee spends 30 to 40% of his time looking for information locked in email or filing cabinets. That's pretty disturbing. And reducing the time wasted dealing with information overload by 15% could save a company with 500 employees more than $2 million a year. It's not insignificant, the amount of time that we spend on this. So to quickly getting started, just going, showing, giving, evaluate your workflow. What are you doing now? What paper can be eliminated through electronic billing or, you know, doing things electronically? What documents consume the most time and space? That's where you're going to get your most money, money for the buck. You know, you're going to get a lot of return on that. You need a scanner, a shredder, some kind of storage, and Evernote's not the only one. I would not recommend Evernote for AP invoices or AR invoices, but depending on what it is, it's a very good way of doing it. What questions do you have?
Now, one of the questions that I've had in going paperless is the 7-year requirement fulfilled in electronic documents as well?
We have never run into an issue with not having an original document when required. So as to my knowledge, even there's been legal things and so forth, and we print out a copy of our scanned document, that's fine. Now, I don't want to say there's never a case, but we've not run into anything where that's been an issue.
What kind of collaboration tools do you have with Evernote?
At this point, I'm one of the primary users within our organization that has thought that Evernote was worthwhile. So I've not used the collaboration tools. They do have Evernote for Business, which I think costs additional as well, but there are collaboration. You can share notebooks. I have done that with some of my employees for specific documents that I wanted them to be able to have access to, but that's about the extent of it. Any other questions? Like I said, this is free, so you know you can try it out for free, and if you try it out, you like it, there's no risk involved in trying it out. Anyone else? If not, Jose.
Evernote, is it primarily to be used on the desktop that you can access it with a mobile device, or is it all the same?
I would say it's all the same. Where you run into some limitations, I love it in that in some ways the mobile edition is almost better. In that when you go to add a new note, create a new note, it'll ask you, what do you want, a picture do you want with your phone? And you can take a picture and boom, it's right there and saved. When it comes to search, obviously the convenience of searching and so forth, managing tags and all that is a lot easier on a desktop. The other thing is that you want to think about is that offline access, and not all versions allow that. That's on the phone is where that is really helpful. Like if you don't have any phone service, you can still have access. Obviously, if you have your laptop, it's loaded locally, at least as of the prior sync. So, you know, so that's not an issue there. But on your phone, that can be. But you want to be careful how big a folder that is offline, because you have storage limitations on your phone as well. It needs to be documents you need to have available. Anyone else? Thank you for your attention. I'll turn it back to Nathan.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.